Hello and welcome to a V2 Football Podcast. This week is a special ahead of the Euros. We have got Nick Davey and Richard Hero-Hudson. Hi, guys.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There we go. Okay, we're going to get straight into it because we didn't have a lot of time to prepare. We couldn't organise a piss-up in a brewery, us lot. So we're going to quickly... we really couldn't. We're going to...
I bet Hero probably couldn't. He'll probably direct people to Costa instead.
Okay, let's quickly talk about the group stage. So I'm just going to remind people what our group stage is in case they, for some reason, don't know. Our first game is against Russia, our second game is against Wales, and our third game is against Slovakia. Now, before we talk about all that, I want to talk about the pre-season bit, the pre-tournament friendlies, because we have played, I've got it listed here, we played Turkey, Australia, and Portugal, and we won all three games.
But
oddly enough, the general feeling, I'd say, ahead of a tournament for England is pretty negative. I'd say we aren't very happy with those wins. So,
it's the most exciting squad since '66, apparently.
Well, yeah, okay.
I play that every tournament.
I mean, let me talk about the last team we beat. We beat Portugal 1-0, and the Portuguese were coming out afterwards and saying, we've had a decent preparation, we've been doing all right, and the Portuguese sort of mentality at the moment seems to be quite good. And they've just gone and lost against us. And we were saying, this is one of our worst performances in years. And we've just beaten a pretty good side.
In fairness to them, they did have a man sent off in the first half.
Yeah, I know, but...
kill someone.
What I'm asking is, why do we think that the mentality ahead of this tournament for England is so, maybe not negative, but underwhelming, considering we have actually had a pretty damn good preparation? We were unbeaten in our qualifiers. We've only lost to the Netherlands in the last, 2 years? And they've been smashing everyone since they've been not qualified.
Do you want to know what I think? I think everyone's actually facing a bit of reality. I think in previous years, we've had players who've sort of got to finals of like a lot of competitions like the Champions League. And then you look at, we had a lot of world-class players like Gerrard, Lampard, Beckham, Rooney, you know what I mean? So I think obviously we've had a lot of that. So I think now that we've actually, apart from Rooney, you haven't really looked at those players who have actually played. A lot of the team that's going to start hasn't really had that much experience in the Champions League. You wouldn't like say, I know he's done really well this year, but would you go Vardy's world-class like in the top five in the world, whereas in the top 10 in the world, whereas, you know, previous tournaments we've had Gerrard, Lampard, Beckham and Rooney, who people actually probably classed in the top 10, Terry as well.
There's no big star names in the squad.
That's it. I think that's what it mainly is down to. I think people are more
that might work a lot more in the benefit of it. You know, there might be a lesser approach to the team. The ethos, the morale in the team is meant to be much better than it usually is, and this doesn't seem to be the big boy Charlie's in there anymore.
And to be fair, the World Cup there was a lot of positive feeling going to it. So I think it was after Liverpool's almost success in the.
But it's not sort of split into the camps that it used to be, of where there was a lot of the Man United players in there, a lot of the Chelsea players in there, and they just didn't get on. Because I think this season has seen other clubs come to the forefront in the league. There's a lot more mix of the different teams in there, and no sort of core, we're the top dogs and you're just here for the squad numbers. Everybody seems to be together.
Nick, you mentioned...
I think that's what Danny Sturridge was saying. Danny Sturridge.
Bit of a delay there. Nick, you mentioned the sort of a Leicester thing, that we could have a bit of a Leicester thing. Do you think... Because part of my thinking is why Leicester did so well is because they were underestimated for at least two-thirds of the season. They were majorly underestimated as what a side they were. Do we think that could apply to England? That because there's no big names, or very few big names, that other sides could underestimate us?
But I don't think we're that much of underdogs, because we're four favourites. I think with Leicester winning the Premier League, I know what you're saying, but I think Leicester winning the Premier League, that's equivalent to someone on Northern Ireland's sort of terms of Wales terms of going to win the whole thing. We're actually four favourites, so we're probably actually, a lot of other nations are probably fearing us, to be fair. I think it's just us English fans are more a bit negative, because every year we go into tournaments thinking, oh yeah, we'll do well, and then we end up drawing with teams like Algeria and Uruguay and etc. So I think it's more over the, especially the last sort of, since 2006 World Cup, where we had a good run, then we went out and penalties to Portugal. have actually been pretty dire since then, these major tournaments. I mean, Euro 2008, we didn't even qualify. World Cup 2010 was embarrassing, in my opinion, yep. Worse than 2014 World Cup, where I know we didn't even win a game, but we actually played okay football, but just didn't get the results. And then Euro 2012, I think we got through, and then we lost it on penalties again, shock to Italy. So we haven't really done very well since 2006 World Cup, and I think it's more now that people are just say it's more of an acceptance, really, rather than that. If that makes, I do know what you're saying with the Leicester thing, but I think that should be more competitive. Teams like even Austria and Switzerland, who have actually got very good squad to go, and they've gone a bit unnoticed.
Okay, well, let's talk about the friendlies we've just had. We beat Germany 3-2. We lost 2-1 to the Netherlands, and that pretty much eliminated all of the optimism we had after beating the Germans. Then we beat Turkey 2-1, Australia 2-1, and Portugal 1-0. Would you agree with the majoritarian assessment at the moment that whilst the results are good, the performances have been bad? Would you agree with that?
I wouldn't say bad. I'd just say not. We could be better.
Yeah, there hasn't been the sort of... You look at some of the team sheets at time and you think... I think it's been a bit like Man United at time. You've seen the team sheet and you've seen, like in United, the likes of Martial and Memphis and Rashford, and you think, wow, that's going to be a fast attacking, exciting game. And then you watch them in reality and the energy sapped out of them. And it's been a bit like that with England, that there doesn't seem to have been the impetus somewhat. But they were friendly, so you don't want them to be going in 100% really in that.
Now, England was slated after the last friendly 1-0 win against the 10-man Portugal, and they were slated because, you know, Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy were almost playing out wide. I think it was Paul Merson who said it was one of the worst England performances he's seen in years, and it was a 1-0 win against Portugal. Was it really that bad? Because, I mean, I did watch the game. I didn't think we were any kind of inspiring, and half the time I was on my phone, but I mean, that's the kind of result you would take with bells on in an actual tournament.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. I think in friendlies, people expect just to see a pretty football being played because there's not much to lose. But obviously, in the final preparations friendly, you really need, it's sort of, it really is final dress rehearsal. So you need to really set out how you would set out against Russia.
And you look at some of the other squads that are going to the Euros, and a lot of the big dogs have lost a lot of players through injuries. You know, we can't go into these last three friendlies and having everybody going in for 50-50 tackles and possibly losing some of our key players. You know, it's learning about... We usually sort of try and play against teams that are going to be in the group stage, that sort of style of play. So it's more of just a making sure we've got the ground covered rather than let's go out and win all these.
Okay, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want to on both of your opinions and whether or not you agree with me. I'm going to say now I don't necessarily agree with this assessment, but there has never been this much disinterest for England football at a major tournament. Now, I've been, you know, with friends who have been, we've been preparing for the tournament, you know, we've arranged to do barbecues and all these things for the games, but driving around, you know, where I live, I haven't seen a single England flag, not one. And you look at pictures for like people who are preparing pubs and all these sorts of things. There just doesn't seem to be any real enthusiasm for it.
Because it's a Euro Championship and not a World Cup, though.
Maybe, but I say even before we tend to get into those sorts of tournaments. My argument is, maybe, if I agree with it, I'm not even sure yet, is there's never been this much apathy towards the England national team. Do you guys agree with that?
I disagree. I think, if anything, it's more... I think the Jamie Vardy effect's really buzzed everyone, especially Leicester. I think Vardy and Kane have really become sort of heroes, really, and people love them. And therefore, I think that's what it is. It's not like in sort of back in the day. I think sort of players like Rooney, Owen Shearer, there were even in recent years Rooney and Owen sort of have been a bit hit and miss. Sort of people don't really like them because of what they've played for their clubs. So I think Vardy and Kane are very likeable people.
I wouldn't say Vardy's a likeable person. He's a clown.
I think we've just found the title for this show.
He's having a party.
Yeah, he's having a party as long as Japanese people aren't invited.
Okay. Okay, let's try and not get sued. What do you think of my statement, Richard?
I would agree on that. I've seen, I think, sort of two cars with the flags out. which is a good thing because they look chavvy as anything when you do see them. But what I would say is the sort of the same thing about there's no big names in the squad, so that there's a better like morale between the team. I think that also has had an effect upon fans in the. Like before, you'd go to a tournament and the Liverpool fans would be getting behind Gerrard, Chelsea fans would be getting behind Lampard, United would be getting behind Rooney. Now, all the main supported clubs haven't got a big name player really at them.
Actually,
to get behind.
That was one thing I was going to suggest, that with the Leicester effect, of none of the big teams have had a good season. None of them. Not even Arsenal, who finished second. No big side has had a good season. So almost with, I wouldn't say the majority of fans, but with a very significant percentage of fans, they're just not really that up for football at the moment because they've just had such a crap season. I mean, there's very few fans of football clubs at the moment this season who've had what you'd call a good season. You're in the very significant minority. Like, even Southampton fans, who've had a great season, but look at what's happening at the moment. We're miserable. And so it's almost like, oh, more football. Do we really want that? I do think there is a growing apathy towards the England national, but I think it's a lot of things. I think it's the way we're playing is just not getting any real interest. I think there's no real big stars, and I think our young players, we think, yeah, they'll be good, probably Milner level. We don't really think, you know, we're going to have a world beater. Even Dele Alli, we talk about him, about how great he is. No one thinks he's going to be the best midfielder in the world, do they? Everyone thinks he's going to be, you know, pretty good. But
I'm excited about Rashford, but I'm realistic in the how much game time is he really going to get?
No, he's not going to get much.
This is what I'm talking about. Our expectations have plummeted, really, and with that our enthusiasm has. It's the biggest irony. We always criticise our expectations and say they're too high, but they drop and our interest drops as well. So
I can see him being used as the sub ahead of Sturridge, but I don't think, you know, I think he's going to be getting sort of 10-15 minutes maximum in a game. That's always going to be game. And what will probably happen is that he'll come on at the end of the first game, score the winner, and then there'll be a huge public outcry for him to then start the second game.
That would get a big surge of attention. I think now, if Marcus Rashford won us the game against Russia, I think that would suddenly get everyone's attention for England at the Euros, and maybe quell some of that apathy. So, okay.
One thing on that, though, like, everybody's this whole, like, Jamie Vardy's having a party stuff. His actual England record, isn't he only scored 2 goals in 8 games? It's not that great.
Is it 8 games? I don't think he's played that many.
Yeah.
Off the bench quite a lot.
Didn't he debut against Germany?
No. I'm sure he has played 8 games and he scored 2 goals.
Are we sure? I could have sworn he got his opening goal and... really?
That's seen quite a lot, but I think he's probably come off the bench. Did he ever get called up when... like? No, because he's only just got his first calls up this season, hasn't he?
Hold on. We're technical expertise.
Oh, no,
I'm
he's
Googling.
Got 3 goals in 8 games.
3 goals in 8 games, yeah, you got that right, 8 games. Yeah, so, but then again, at the same time, he's not really been starting much, and when he has been starting, it's the typical Hodgson thing of, let's put him in the squarest possible peg we could have. We're playing him out wide, we're playing him in a role that doesn't suit him at all. So I'd maybe say that's a bit harsh from Vardy when it's more, I'd say, other people's failings around him. Also, I will say this about what you said about Marcus Rashford, thinking that he'll get 10 or 15 minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't get any more than that over the course of the tournament.
I think it depends upon when he comes on.
I'll put it this way. Luke Shaw, in the last tournament, he only played 1 game, and that was against Costa Rica when we were already out. I think when it comes to a tournament, I think...
You don't tend to sub in your left-backs, do you?
No.
You only tend to sub in a full-back if there's an injury to your fullback.
I'll put it this way, it's Hodgson. He brought Wilshere in over Drinkwater. We'll talk about that in a moment. I think if he's going to bring on a sub, it will be Daniel Sturridge. Presuming he's not dead, you know. A strong gust of wind didn't kill him, I'm hoping. Okay, let's talk about the team. We will talk about the games in just a moment, because we still haven't actually had a show where we talked about the team yet. What do we think about that squad? I'm going to go ahead and say one thing straight away, which is the Wilshere and Drinkwater thing, which I think is pretty much a disgrace. I think that's just ridiculous that a player who has played, what, two or three games in the entire season is in ahead of in ahead of a title winner because, what, he had two or three bad games in the friendlies beforehand. They were all shit in the friendlies.
It's not fair that Drinkwater's not going. It's really unfair.
It is astonishing.
I disagree again.
Really? You want Wilshere ahead of... Okay, go on.
Wilshere has proven England quality. The number of games that he had before he got his injury, where he was man of the match, I think it was like 5 or 6 games in a row he was man of the match for England. Danny Drinkwater, he's had a great season for Leicester, but he is not... he's not international quality.
Alright, I'll put it a slightly different way. Let's say Leicester didn't win the league this year. Let's say Arsenal won the league this year. Jack Wilshere has his injury throughout the season, but instead of Wilshere, Danny Drinkwater just so happens to play for Arsenal. Has the exact same season, the exact same performances throughout the season for Arsenal. Who would you want?
The one that's been and done it already.
Really? I think it's a bit of a big club mentality thing there. It's Wilshere, plays for a big club, he's done it more often. Yeah, but he's also, you know, you say he's proven quality, he's a proven NHS patient as well.
There has to be a certain... He's got the youngest squad there of the Euros. There has to be a number of players in the squad still that, in the dressing room, like in the whole mentality, that can guide the young players coming through on what to do in this situation.
Drinkwater's older than Wilshere, and do you really think Wilshere's a better role model for the young players than Drinkwater?
Drinkwater's not been to an international tournament. He's, you know, he's going in as blind as anybody else. Well,
yeah,
Wilshere's
Danny Drinkwater, though, he's a good player.
He's a good player. He's not a
match
great.
The day when I was surprised though, because that match the day when Hodgson was on, they kept bringing up players like Mark Noble, those sort of players that have sort of played really well this season, but not going to really get a chance for England. But all he wants to talk about is Danny Drinkwater.
But Jack Wilshere, he's an absolute cockwomble. But I would still pick him for England over Danny Drinkwater.
Okay, I can understand the arguments for it. I just think a player who has not done it for an entire year shouldn't get called up. If he was playing for anyone else, anyone out of that top four, no one would even give a slightest wet shit about Jack Wilshere. They'd care about as much about Jack Wilshere as they do about Ravel Morrison, just waiting for actual prison time. That's my honest opinion. Please don't sue me, Jack Wilshere. I have no money anyway. So overall, I don't actually have too many complaints about the England team. I wish Adam Lallana wasn't in there, but only because I think he's the only one we could replace with an actual winger. I'd rather we had someone like Albrighton in there, because the one concern I do have is that's it's a very central team. Sterling is a winger. Milner has occasionally played on the wing. You could play Vardy there. There's no wide players.
Do you reckon we're actually going to play people at wide? I think it's set up really for Eric Dyer holding, then probably Wilshere and maybe Rooney there, and then Ali in front, and with Kane and Vardy up front. I don't think Sterling's even.
I think it'll be a diamond, yeah.
Well, this is my concern, is that at an international level, that kind of tactic very rarely works. But you look throughout the years, teams who've had success on international levels, they played wingers. They played wide formations, because it's better to counterattack. International, you get less chances, you're less likely to have a lot of possession. So the whole thing is, you actually have wide players, you get it in, you have one man up front. That's been mostly the traditional thing for international.
We've played 4-4-2 wingers for 30 years of England, and it's never worked. We've always played with headless chickens as wingers, haven't we, so...
Well, I guess it's the argument, but for me, I my only concern really with that English squad, aside from, you know, one or two players I'd rather have seen in, is that it's a very central team, and I would say that our central spine is pretty fucking weak. I mean,
and which wingers would you bring in?
I'd have had Sterling on the left, and we've already got him in because I think he's shown for City this year. He's very good at that. People have slated Sterling.
It's been awful for City.
Slated Sterling, but he's still been one of the best young players in the country this year. Look at his stats. He has still been one of the best young players, not just in the country, in Europe. Look at his stats. They're proven.
The problem that Sterling has had this year, and one of my mates goes to City every week, is he said that basically as soon as he's got the ball, all he's done is come back inside with it or pass the ball back again.
Yeah, he's been absolutely petrified
of taking on a man.
Yeah,
he's never gone outside and he's never taken on a man.
Sterling being a bit like the Walcotts and Lennons that we've seen throughout the Sean Wright Phillips is that we've seen for the last sort of 10 years, these wingers that try and take it on. I mean, I can't remember those sort of wingers really played well since 2006, where we had Beckham on the right and Joe Cole on the left, and they were awesome, both of them.
Joe Cole.
Look at him as comparison.
Joe Cole's quality.
Look at Sterling compared to Martial. Martial, towards the end of the season, was destroying defenders going after.
Yeah, but Martial's an actual striker who's been put on the wing. Sterling's a midfielder. Anyway, not talking too much about Sterling. My concern is the spine of the team is very weak. Because I think other teams are going to look at our central midfield and our central defence. Gary Cahill hasn't played too much football this year. Chris Smalling has been either or for Man United. And John Stones, I think anyone's going to want to have a go at him. But then in the middle of midfield, you've got the likes of Jordan Henderson and Jack Wilshere, Ross Barkley, Dele Alli. I just think that a lot of what managers are going to be saying to their players are, put in hard tackles. Half of those players are going to be terrified of getting injured. I think if another team wants to just go hard on us, I think that's very dangerous, especially when we're a completely central team. That's my worry.
My worry is, with England, is I think they'll do all right as a tournament. I think they'll do better than we think. I think they'll certainly get out of the group stage because it's...
Six teams out of the eight.
It's virtually impossible to not get out of the group stage.
We'll talk about that a little bit in a second.
You can get out of that with 1 point.
Yeah, technically you can. It's there's eight teams, eight group stages, and six of those groups can have 3 teams qualify. So you have to do absolutely abysmally to not go through in the group stages.
You'd expect them, looking at the group, to win the group. So then they're going to be facing against a team that's finished third in another group. So they're going to be pretty dire. So they should be getting to the quarters at least.
I think I've worked out, if presuming we all being well, we do win the group, which... I mean, it'd be typical England, probably we'll end up coming third in our easy group and then still getting through. But no, I think if we do win the group, which is, as I say, all being well, we really should, then I believe we'll probably go in the quarterfinals to someone like, I think it's Portugal, Italy or Sweden, one of them three.
I'm going to, like, I know it's going to sound weird because I'm one of the more optimistic people about England on this show, but I think this group is so much harder than anyone's giving it credit for. I think this is a tough group. I think we're going to struggle.
I think Wales could be a potential.
I'll put it this way. Russia are a side that are much better than we think they are. They've got good players. They went through their group fairly easily, and it was a tough group they had in the qualifiers. In the last year, I've done this for all of the teams. In the last year, Russia have beaten. Where did I put Russia? Well, in the last year, they've beaten, I think it was the Czech Republic, Sweden, Portugal, they've beaten them as well. They've been poor in the friendlies lately, but I don't think that ever really makes too much of a difference going into the tournament. They've got good players. They've got Akinfeev, Lodygin, the Berezutsky brothers, Shenikov, Smolnikov, Golovin, which is apparently how it's pronounced, not Golovin, Kambarov, Shatov, Mamayev, Zoyba, who is the third. I don't think he's in there. They've got Artem Zoyba, he's the third top scorer in qualifying, got 6 goals in the Champions League. It's a team that I think we're going to be looking at and going, none of those players play in the Premier League. How bad can they be? Never don't have any Premier League players. I think it's a better side than we think they are. And I think especially considering the next World Cup is their World Cup and considering all the scandals Russia as a sporting nation have had in this past year or two, I think they're going to be told to go out there and express themselves to try and really do something. They're going to be given a bit of a blank check to go and really do something. And I'd be a bit concerned about how much they're going to turn up for this tournament.
Well, they've probably got it going into it with threats that if they don't do anything, they'll have their legs kneecapped when they go home.
Yeah, welcome to Siberia. I genuinely think it's a lot harder team than we think it is. And they've got a very, very good coach in charge. Is it Leonard or Leonid Slutsky? He's a very good coach. No, he got sacked a while ago. It's the former CSGA guy.
I think we'll get past the Russians. I'm going to say that the Russians are going to finish second, though.
Well, oh, really?
I think the Wales bubble has burst.
They've been bad in the friendlies, but I'd say that's harsh. To say the Wales bubble has burst.
Yeah,
no, they've been crap in the friendlies, but let's not forget this is their first tournament. And the Welsh mentality, I know a lot of Welsh people. None of them are going, oh, isn't it so bad we've been doing in the friendlies. They're still going, fucking first tournament, guys. This is great. This is brilliant. We can't wait for it. And I think that the same mentality is going to be there with the players. So I'd say it's kind of negligible with them in their friendlies. I think Wales are going to be more up for the England game than we are. And that worries me, especially with what I was saying about potentially having a weak spine. Potentially, we could get bullied a bit. I think the Wales squad will really want to do that. And then the last team, Slovakia. I mean, people haven't really heard of Slovakia, but they've been shitting on everyone. In the last year, they've beaten Germany 3-1, Iceland 3-1, who have also qualified for the tournament, Switzerland 3-2, the Czech Republic 1-0, Spain 2-1, and the Ukraine 1-0. They've been kicking the crap out of everyone, Slovakia. They got a good, really good side. Hubachan, Pekaric, Skirtle, Duda, Hamšík, Kučka, Mack, Stock, Weiss. They don't really have any good strikers, but they've got a really, really good midfield. And nobody knows anything about them, but they've been beating everyone. I think we're looking at this group and going, oh, Russia never really been a good football team. Wales are, but they never turn up to a tournament. Slovakia, who are they? They're just one of those other Slav teams. I think it's a hard group. I will be surprised, very surprised, if we finish top.
I think we will finish top. And I'm going to be as bold as saying, England, I'm going to get to the semi-finals.
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh, I reckon quarter. I'm going to have quarters. So.
And I'm going to say that we're going to then go out in the semi-finals due to Dele Alli getting a red card.
Wow, Mystic Meg, eat your heart out. I mean,
Dele Alli is a red card waiting to happen for England.
A little bit. I'll say I think we finish second in the group. I'm not sure who finishes first. I think it's a very open group because it's very even. It's a very, very tough group.
I think we'll win the group. I think Wales second, Russia third, and Slovakia fourth. But then I think, don't forget that our group in the World Cup, I think everyone had Costa Rica as dead certs of fourth, and look how that ended up.
And the World Cup group we had before that, everyone thought we'd do quite well, and we drew about.
Getting started, yeah. It was the one we could have possibly got, the Yanks, Slovenia, and Algeria, and yet we still only came, we only got 5 points, and the USA top the group, didn't they?
Yeah, last Euros we went out to Italy on penalties after what was possibly one of the worst showings we've ever done at a tournament. I mean, we were all right, but we just were crap in every single game.
Well, quite a few got, we won, we did all right. We drew France and we beat Sweden 3-2 and beat Ukraine 1-0.
We beat Sweden.
I think Ukraine had a goal that should have been a goal. I think it was one of those goal line technologies that wasn't in play.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where we were pretty much, you know, crap. And then we came up against the first good team we were going to face, and we got beaten. I just genuinely think that this group is a lot harder than people think it is. We are not quite as good as we seem to think we are, especially in comparison to these teams. I think we come up against, I think it'll be a similar case as to the last year, is we come up against the first good team and we just don't really turn up. I think we'll reach the quarters. I think we'll get through the group stage second. We'll win the next game because we won't be up against anyone too amazing. But then we'll come up against a decent team like France or Germany.
Yeah, I think we'll get come bad. Up against France or Germany, then we're out. But they're my two for the final anyway, so.
All right, okay, let's talk about the games then. Let's talk about them specifically. So England v Russia, that's the first one. I'm going to go ahead and predict a draw. I think it's going to be very, very nervy. I don't think we're going to get an open game at all. I think both sides are going to be very nervous ahead of that match. And I think it's going to be 1-1 or 2-2. Nothing more. We've been attacking okay in the last few games, but not anything better than that. Our defending's been abysmal, and they have a good attack, Russia. Their defending as well. Their defending is not particularly good, but their attacking is good. So I just think it'll end up being really cagey. What do you reckon?
1-0 England. Marcus Rashford, 88th minute.
Was this against the Russians?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going for 2-0 will win.
Ooh, okay. Now we've got England v Wales next. Now that's the big one, obviously. I can't really call this one. I think this is a ridiculous game. I'm gonna hate myself because and all the Welsh people I know. I think they're gonna win. I think it's gonna be 1-0 to the Welsh. I think it will be a crap, dirty game for 80 minutes, and then the Welsh will score with a corner. And yeah, I think they're gonna win. That one.
I'm going to say 2-1 to England.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
I hate myself right now. I've just said the Welsh are going to beat us. I absolutely hate myself. And lastly, we've got England v Slovakia. I think that's where we redeem ourselves. I think that's where it's 2-1. A very open game, a very good game. And I think we just about have the quality to get through and now get a second place. Possibly the Welsh first, maybe the Russians, depending on how they do against the Welsh. So yeah, so that's what I think, Slovakia. What about you?
Well, I think England have, at this point, have already gone through with 6 points. So I think they're going to rest a few players and end up drawing 1-1.
I reckon we'll win 1-0.
So have you both gone for unbeaten in the group stage?
Yeah. Yep.
God, you guys are optimistic. I thought I was supposed to be the pro-England one on this podcast. Wow. Yeah, I don't know who we could possibly face. I haven't actually checked how the qualifying after that works, whether or not it's a specific group we'll be drawn against. So I can't say for that unless anyone else knows.
No, I don't know how it all works out with all this. It could be one of three teams from three different group things for the third place.
Let's hope we get a crap team. Let's hope we get.
Yeah, it'd be somebody like Albania.
Are they even in it?
Yes. Yeah, they are.
I'll take Albania.
I think they're the worst ranked team in it.
I'll take them all day. Right, let's talk about a few of the other teams in the Euros, other than England. Northern Ireland. There's been a lot of talk about Northern Ireland.
My sweepstakes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about them, but how do we actually think they're going to do in this tournament?
Will Grigg's on fire. Your defence is terrified because Will Grigg's on fire. Na 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 na. I think they will get through.
So you think they're going to get through and Will Grigg's going to be burnt alive? Okay.
I think they will get through. I think they'll get through providing Germany do their bit. I think Germany will top the group on 9 points. I think Northern Ireland have got a good chance, especially if third place can get through. I think they've got a good chance.
I don't think they're going to get through. When you sing a song about somebody that plays a Wigan...
Harsh.
If you place a Wigan, come on.
Harsh. Riffing on Will Grigg. He's on fire, guys.
He may be, but he plays the fucking Wigan.
Still funny that Scotland aren't there and Northern Ireland are.
Yeah, I tell you what, I like Northern Ireland. I really want them to do well. If we mess up, and I think we will, personally, I really wanted them to be the team that will do well. But Germany are obviously a world-class side. Poland have a lot of good players. And the Ukraine are also a hell of a lot better than anyone actually realises. Yeah. They've got a very good team.
The three that are in the group as well are all a lot better than Northern Ireland.
I do worry that they might just go and get absolutely battered 3 games in a row, because they are all sides that are just... I'll put it this way, if any of those other sides were in our group with us, I would bet on one of them to finish first or second. That's how highly I rate those other sides in that group.
Poland especially are being sort of overlooked.
Yeah.
And they've got a very good... Everybody sort of looks at them and thinks Lewandowski. But there's a lot of other good players there.
What's that? Grzycki guy? Kamil Grzycki, yeah. I think it is. I think he's quite good. So, yeah. We've talked about them briefly, but Wales... How do we think they'll do overall in the tournament? Because we all seem to think, apart from me, that we'll do quite well against them. But where do we see them finishing in the tournament?
I think they'll go out in the... I think they'll get through the group. And I think they'll go out in the next round. The round of 16.
Who, Northern Ireland?
Wales.
No, Wales.
I agree.
Okay, I've got to be...
If it had been a year ago, if it was a year ago, I could have seen them gone a bit further, but I do think that they've perhaps gone off the boil a touch.
Yeah, I mean, they got battered by Sweden, so I think that's... If anything, that could be a blessing in disguise, really, because that could be the wake-up call that they're not going to do as well as people think. But I just think with that, when you've got a player of Gareth Bale's class, I just think he can win a game like that. I remember watching him in the World Cup, Argentina against Iran, and Iran battered Argentina for that second half, and then all it took last minute was Messi decided just to go on a run and score.
The thing is, though, that
simply nothing people can do about that.
They've
really,
got Gareth Bale, but there's other nations there as well that have also got these like fantastic names. Ibrahimovic, Ronaldo.
He's a different type of player. Ibrahimovic won't go on a run like Bale, Messi, or Ronaldo, or and then curl one in.
Yeah, but he can pick the, no, he can run with the ball, even at 34. He'll run past the player.
Wales are more than just Bale, though. I mean, I've got a list of like most of the good players in our group stage. James Collins has had a great season for West Ham. Ben Davies, he's obviously a quality player. Neil Taylor, Jazz Richards, Ashley Williams, Joe Allen, Gareth Bale, Joe Ledley, Andy King, Aaron Ramsey, and Sam Bokes. I would say there's at least three or four of those players who get into the England team and the first team, no question.
No,
I wouldn't.
Ashley Williams, yes, is a good shout.
Ashley Williams, think, Joe Allen, and Aaron Ramsey, and Bale.
I'd say Bale, Ramsey, and Ashley Williams. I'll give you them three. Everyone else, no. Ben Davies can't even get ahead of Danny. Yeah, no, I'd say Williams, Ramsey, and Bale. I'll give you them. Williams mainly because in how much of England state the defence is. But yeah, no, Joe Allen's not better than. As much as we despise him, he's not better than Wilshere.
Joe Allen is quality. I will not hear a bad word.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying he's not as good as the England centre mids we've got in the squad.
I could maybe concede that one. I just remember when I watched Southampton play Liverpool, we won 3-2, and Joe Allen was on the pitch, and he was just... I'm sorry, he looked world-class. He was ridiculous.
He's got a world-class haircut.
Yeah, and but then again, maybe he was only up against us. He did absolutely...
Yeah, I think that's about it. The
pick
of it.
Cheers. Right, okay, the other team. Now, this is where we would be talking about Scotland if they weren't crap. So instead, we're going to be talking about a team that is not technically British, but close enough, Republic of Ireland. Their group is Belgium, Italy and Sweden. It's a tough group.
It's the group of death, that one.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting through. I think they're finishing fourth. I think other three teams...
Especially the group of death, because if they don't do well, Roy Keane might kill them.
Yeah, and the fact there's been a whole lot of controversy behind the scenes with the Irish squad. Like, normally we expect this from the England team. Someone's fucked someone else's wife. Someone's, had sex with a granny. All this, for some reason, it's always sexual. They're like a bunch of public school Conservative Party members. It's all just, like, being found with an orange in your mouth and a belt round your neck with the England squad. We've had nothing of that. Republic of Ireland, like, there's genuine threats of death in there.
Well, I think Republic of Ireland, the thing is... Also, I was watching the Martin O'Neill interview, and it was quite interesting, really. I mean, it was saying about him and Roy Keane, everyone was saying it wouldn't work, and Martin O'Neill was even thinking, he didn't think it'd work, but he says, and he was sort of saying that had they not qualified, I think one of them would have been leaving, but I think it has just worked, and it's worked really well, so I think that could, the comments you're saying, I mean, it makes it sound like if it does go tits up, then all hell will break loose, as you're saying.
Well,
imagine though playing in the first match and that, and you've done a couple of, you look like you're playing at sort of 80%, and then you look over to that touchline, and Roy Keane is just staring at you. You pull your socks up, wouldn't you?
Roy Keane has got that, the best 1,000-yard stare in football, hasn't he? He's got the best one. It's pure murder.
That time when he was the assistant manager of Villa, and he was shopped in with everyone on the. Everyone on the bench had a Roy Keane beard and face.
I tell you, I think that what they've done, though, I think it was just this week, they've done the worst thing they could have possibly done and given new contracts to Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. And it's not that they don't deserve them, because I think O'Neill is a great manager. But you do.
I thought they were going to pinch him. I thought they were going to pinch shoot him.
You do that before a tournament. It's sort of like, any time anyone seems to do it, it just seems to completely rob that team of any impetus. I'm doing this for my job. If we do that badly, I could get sacked. I think they're going to look at it and go, well, that's a tough group, and if we did that badly, it wouldn't be terrible.
They're not getting out of it, though. They're coming, so it's the group of death, so they're not getting out of that. They're coming fourth, I think. What was it again? Belgium, Italy, and Sweden, and I can't see.
I can see an upset, actually, in this group.
Sweden, you're saying?
I'm saying Italy could actually not get through.
Okay.
They've improved a bit since the last World Cup.
But they're pretty... they've not got... They're one of the sides that have lost a few through injury. Their sort of best player, Verratti, midfield-wise, he's not going to be there. They're not the Italy of old.
Hell, they've been playing Pella up front. Even we've got Shane Long ahead of him in the Southampton team.
They're not a great Italy at all, and I could see them having a bit of a mare this this championship.
See, you say that, but the thing I always think is Italy. They always turn up for the tournament. Everyone always predicts doom and gloom for the Italians, looking at their team and going, oh, it's old men and it's just not very impressive. But then they turn up for the tournament, do amazing, and then they have a decent like, sort of spirit for next year, and then it's all hell again, because no one does controversy like the Italians. We think we have it, or the Irish have it. Shit, the Italians, they do this stuff just for breakfast. It's morning stuff for them. Oh, we accidentally had a bunga bunga party with a president of, like, Kazakhstan. Whoops. So, as much as I think you've got all the right reasons for thinking Italy will do bad, they just never do, though. It's a bit like the Spain squad at the World Cup. They did absolutely abysmally, but nobody saw that coming. Everyone thought they might be going to win. I think it's the side you always predict as doing poorly do well, and the side you always predict as doing well generally do poorly, apart from when it's the Germans.
There's usually one big name that absolutely flunks it. And I know it's not normally Italy, but I'm going for it being Italy that flunk it this time.
All right, I can see that. I reckon, though, in between the two Ireland sides, it's going to be a competition to who can get a point. Because they are both going to struggle. That's who can take home the plaudits, whoever actually manages to draw a game. Maybe we're being harsh. All right, let's talk about the hosts. I know it's not a British Isle side, but France. A lot of people have been saying France to win it, France to win it. I personally think France will win it. But then again, their preparation ahead of this tournament has been pretty bad. First of all, you've had the whole Benzema sex scandal, and they're leaving behind probably one of their best players. Then you've had the thing with Valbuena, all that lot. And then you've just had the fact the terrorism, was it not even a year ago, was it? In Paris. That's going to fucking shake you. And then they've still got the threat of all of that happening at the Euros. And they know if it's going to happen, it will be focused on them. I just, as much as they should win it, because I think they have got one of the best squads there, and it's home nation, all of that stuff. I think, as you said with Italy, if any team's going to flunk it, my money's on France. They're either going to win it or go out in the group stage. That's my call.
If they have a dodgy start, then they're always the nation, apart from Holland, well, the Netherlands, that then suddenly go mental within their own squad and just start casting aspersions on each other. And obviously it's already happened before even the tournament started with Benzema and stuff. But they will implode upon themselves if they don't have a good start.
Yeah, it's a bit like Brazil, they're under a lot of pressure. I mean, Brazil was under so much pressure, I think. They decided to kick a ball in their own net, didn't they, at the start of the World Cup.
I mean, you look going forward of that squad, you know, you've got Payet, Griezmann, Pogba, Martial. That's an irresistible strike force going at a team. Unfortunately, though, then you've got Giroud probably up front. But
I tell you what, let's quickly... So France play Romania in the opening game. That's tomorrow at 8 o'clock. ITV, if you want to know. It's not available on other channels, so I won't advertise them. So they play Romania, then they play Albania, and then they play Switzerland. Here's what I think is going to happen. They're going to draw with the Romanians, 1-1. They're going to be surprised that Romania are actually not a crap team. They're actually fairly decent, Romania. Then they're going to draw with Albania, and they won't really be able to figure out why, and then the Swiss will crap on them. Either that, or they win all three games. I'm predicting it's either victory or just the most abysmal performance they could have possibly put on for the French.
I think, come the group stage is over, that France will be the top scorers coming out of the group stage.
Okay, so you're going the way of they're going to do well.
Yeah.
See, I'd actually like to think that, because if it's not going to be England or Northern Ireland or Wales win it, which I don't think it will be, I'd kind of like France to win it. A lot because of what happened earlier in the year, but also because it's always nice to see the team that hosts it win it, because then you have the big, you know, the party spirit, you get the big proper celebrations at the end of it. When it's another side, it's always a bit more reserved. And I think it can be sometimes better to watch it. So I would like them to do well, but I just have the feeling that they're going to be one of the two sides who finish third in the group and go out. I just have that very horrible feeling with France, and it's going to be a really dour tournament after that.
The one big problem for France is another one with the injuries. They've had a few injuries to centre-backs, haven't they? Losing both Fourani and the Atletico Bilbao.
Laporte.
Yeah, I think that's a big loss for them, for those two to be out. They look great going forward. I don't think they're that as good at the back.
Who's this?
France.
I was still talking. I was having a daze there. Yeah, I think they'll win the whole thing, France. So I think if they get off to a good start against the Romanians,
all right,
tomorrow night especially, I think. Yeah, I just can't.
Yeah, because you look at their defence and you got Digne as one of the full backs, and then you for sort of centre back wise, you got Kachelny, Mangala, Rami, and Umtiti.
Damn, that's great last name.
he's been a very, very good player, isn't
he? Yeah, Lyonnais, isn't he?
Probably on the verge of joining Barca.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for him then. Alright, we'll move on from France. There's a few more countries I want to talk about, because I think that these will be the countries that everyone talks about. Germany. So obviously, I think both of you have said France will maybe win it. They'll do very well. The German sort of mentality going into this tournament actually seems to be quite underwhelming. They've done, you know, they obviously did very well in the group stage. It's not as well as they thought they'd do, but they did very well. But then the friendlies. They lost to Slovakia, a side that's in our group. I know they sometimes don't always do well in the friendlies. They lost to us as well, but when they always turn up for a tournament. I don't know, the whole German thing, there's normally always a big German thing whenever there's a tournament. You know, everyone talks about the Germans. No one's really talked about them. And they don't seem to be talking too much about themselves, which I always find a bit weird, because they tend to do that.
I think all the talk's been about France. I think Germany was still... They're my second favourites to win it. I think nothing's really changed much, has it, since they won the World Cup. So I think they're very strong. I mean, they were favourites to win the World Cup, weren't they? They delivered. They're probably second favourites, I think, to win the Euros, just given that France have improved. I think they'll be fine. Whether they'll win the whole thing, I don't know.
I've got them as losing to France in the final.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask us to do that a bit later, but yeah, okay. You think they'll reach the final? We're going to have a good tournament. Kind of.
Sorry, I just seem to have dropped off there. I've got them losing to France in the final. I think they've got a number of pretty decent young players coming through, but I think they may struggle to score goals, the German side.
And they've got a very hard group stage. You've already mentioned it's a tough group with Ukraine and Poland. I don't know, I think a bit like France, they're either going to be kind of underwhelming. I don't think it'll be to the same degree. I think if France implode, they implode massively. But I think Germany could have a bit of a not amazing tournament. I'll put it this way, I think they're going to go out in the semis. I mean, they'll be alright, and then they'll look slightly better towards the end, and then they'll go up against maybe the French, if they've actually held it together for long enough. Okay, the other team I want to talk about is Spain, because Spain were abysmal. They were possibly the only side who maybe did worse than us at the last World Cup. They went out in the group stages as well. Kind of went under the radar in this country, because we always think about Spain as being amazing and us as being terrible. They were as bad as us. Now, do you think Spain will come back with a vengeance, or have they not quite recovered yet for this tournament?
They've got a good squad together. I think they're up for the semis.
See, this is where I disagree. I think they're going to I think they're going to have a crap tournament. Not terrible, because again, you have to do pretty badly to be terrible in this tournament with three teams going through. I think quarterfinals. I think that Spanish team is a lot worse than people think. It's not the dominant Spanish side that we've seen, you know, in the last few years. I think it's so midfield heavy. They haven't really got that many good forwards, and they've completely lost their identity, I think, the Spanish. I mean, that's what worries me about them.
Depends on who they put in goal.
Ooh, okay.
Because there's a big clamour to have De Gea in goal, and I could see him still sticking with Casillas. But, you know, there's a lot of that squad there that, between them, have won the last three Champions Leagues.
I just don't see them as having fixed the problems that they had in the last World Cup. I mean, the principal problem was that they didn't really know what they were doing with the forwards, and they'd kind of lost their mentality, their whole, you know, tiki-taka Spanish style of football. I think they've lost that, and I think they haven't actually solved that problem yet. They've solved a few positions.
They've not got
problems.
A striker there. They've got Morata, but will he be the main striker starting form? I don't think so.
Will they even play him as a main striker? Will they play him as a false nine? This is what I'm talking about. I don't think they really know too much about what what the Spanish team wants to be for this tournament. And I think that was the difference between them and previous tournaments, is they knew exactly what they were. They knew exactly the Spanish way of playing, and they did it perfectly. Nick, what do you reckon about Spain? Nick?
I don't think they'll do that well. I think they'll do better than they did at the World Cup, so I certainly see them getting out of the group. But then I don't think they'll win the whole thing, especially didn't they lose to Georgia the other night?
Yeah, I lost to Georgia 1-0 in their friendly.
Exactly, and that's, I mean, Georgia, I can't remember the last time they even bloody won a game.
Yeah, they are crap. They are down in
Lithuania. You look at that Spain side and then sort of then think back to the England squad or whatever, and like in goal, De Gea, one of the best in the world. Defence-wise, you've got Azpilicueta, Bellerin, Jordi Alba, Piqué, Ramos.
Bellerin?
Bellerin's class!
He was,
I thought he was French.
No. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Midfield, Busquets, Fabregas, Iniesta, Koki, Silva, Thiago. Again, every single one of them would be first name on an England team.
Right, but then a few years ago we thought Gerrard and Lampard would work together. Big names don't always necessarily work in a national team, especially, and this is what I'm saying, the problem is when they don't know what their mentality is. England team for years, we just sellotaped a team together and went go out there and play. It's no surprising we didn't win anything. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. We just went out there and went vague formation, Beckham free kick every so often. Gerrard, 20-yard screamer, please. It doesn't work. You have to have a set style and approach.
But they do have that set style and mentality, don't they?
I think, like I said, I think they've lost it in the last sort of 2 years, and I don't think they've recovered it so far. Not yet. I think they're still a few years away from getting it back to what they are. I think they need to start tuning out some of the older players, a bit like Casillas. I think players like that, they need to start maybe trying to move them on and start trying to develop this current generation, because I think they're still too dependent on the golden generation, trying to do things the old way whilst not having the players necessarily that fit it on the other parts of the pitch anymore. I think that's what I think about the Spanish. I think they will not impress. I mean, they'll do better than what they did in the World Cup, but that's because they were crap in the World Cup. But I think
I think Iniesta will be wanting to go off on a swan on a decent tournament.
Also, I just realised I said, that's what I think about. That's what I think about. So, yeah, I'm spasticated. Last team I want to talk about, only because of Cristiano Ronaldo, is Portugal. Will Ronaldo finally actually be a success in an international shirt? Because, honestly, he does not have that many more tournaments left in him. Maybe one more World Cup.
I can't see them... I can't see them winning the... I can't see them winning the whole thing. I think they'll probably get to the semis. And probably lose there.
Semis.
I'd gone down as quarter, but probably the one biggest threat to getting to the semis and beyond.
Okay, I also think then maybe going to do quarters or even the round before that. What are we even calling that round? First knockout round?
Round of 16.
Round of 16. All right, yeah, I think that.
Portugal, you take out Ronaldo, it's not really that great, is
this
it?
This is what I'm saying.
I disagree.
There's good players in there, like you got Guedes or Guedes or Goncalo.
I don't rate him that much because he's only played about three games since Christmas. He's got potential, but he's not getting enough club time. But you look at the one that's heavily linked with United as a playmaker in Gomez.
Renato Sanchez, isn't it?
Renato Sanchez has already gone to Bayern, but he's not going to really be a first on the team sheet.
Interestingly, according to UEFA, he's apparently pronounced Crenato Sanchez. I reckon there was a typo in that.
The one to look out for is the one that's sort of sits on the right midfield, but also can play across the midfield or on the wing, is that Joao Mario.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, him.
He's also been linked quite a bit with United.
Is he the Benfica one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Sporting Lisbon, I think it might be.
I thought he was a central midfielder.
He plays mainly just towards the right of a free man.
Okay. Yeah.
But he was the Portuguese player of the year.
Okay. You see, I think Portugal, they always have a bit of the... it's a bit like Argentina at major tournaments. They seem to sort of almost want Ronaldo in the same way Argentina want Messi to do too well, and they do too much around him, and they don't actually focus on the rest of their play.
Well that's why I think they'll do better this tournament, because there's a few decent players emerging through that perhaps take a bit of the pressure off Ronaldo. Or even if, you know, if teams are sort of look to put two men on Ronaldo, it frees up the other ones to do stuff.
Okay, well, I personally think, I'll put it this way, you take Ronaldo out of that team, and I think it's a team that is slightly worse than our current team. And I'm not predicting us to do that well either. So I personally reckon round of 16 or quarterfinals they're going out in.
Ricardo Quaresma scored a hat-trick last night.
Bloody hell. How old is he now? He's got to be getting on a bit.
I think he's 32.
Damn. Okay, any other teams we want to talk about quickly before we move on to our final thing?
Poland, I think, will do well.
Austria. I think Austria, they've been mentioned quite a bit, Austria. It's not just because they're in my sweepstakes at work, but I think, seriously though, they've done well. I mean, Roy Hodgson's tipped them to do very well as well. I mean, they've got the Leicester City futures as their captain. They've got Alaba. They've got some very good young players there as well. So they could be an eyebrow-raising team.
What about Belgium?
Belgium, yeah, they're in the group of death as well. I think Austria were in the group with Portugal. Yeah. And Belgium,
yeah. Austria will come second.
I just don't think Belgium have clicked yet, really. They still seem too much to me like a team of individuals rather than a collective team. But they've got a bit like our problem for our golden generation. It was too much individuality rather than team playing. I think that's the problem with the Belgium team at the moment.
I agree with you. I think there's sort of there seems to be a growing ego thing with Belgium, thinking that they're above what they are.
Ooh, harsh. Learn your place, little Belgians.
No, I think they think they're the best in the world before actually them doing the things to become the best in the world.
Okay. I tell you what, all right, we'll move on to our final thing now. And this is... Now, Richard, you've already done it. It's predict the final. So, Richard, you said France v Germany, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you said France to win. I'm going to go on a bit out on one here. Now, as much as I know I've said that I think France will do terribly, I think, on the other hand, they could also do very well. One or the other. I don't mean to sit on the fence. I'm not going to say they're going to go semis or anything like that. They're either winning the thing or they're going out in the group stages. But my prediction is a bit of a weird one, because I'm going to go France to win it, but against the Ukraine in the final. I think the Ukraine are the dark horses. I think that's an absolutely banging team. And I don't think anyone really knows too much about them. I mean, that's the big thing.
The thing is with the Euros as well, that, you know, both Greece and Denmark have won the whole thing. So
it was always a small team does well in the Euros. Always won. Right, maybe not win it, but there's always one team that does rather well, more than we expected. And it's always a team you look at afterwards and go, actually, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good side. I think Ukraine is going to be that one. So I think, yeah, France to beat the Ukraine in the final. Or, you know, France will be crap it all the way through, and the Germans will beat the Ukrainians in the final. But I reckon the Ukrainians get to the final.
But Poland has been my one if it was going to be a dark horse one.
All right, and
Austria, man.
Austria to win it.
Well, that'd be my dark horse to do better than expected.
Okay.
Well, what's your final, though, Nick?
France.
What predict the final match? Germany versus France. Yeah, sorry, the connection cut out slightly there. We just heard France. Yeah, okay, so we've got two for Germany v France and one for France v the Ukraine. I don't think many people are going to predict France v the Ukraine as the final. So I'm probably... I haven't.
France are favourites, Germany are second favourites. Sadly going for a wild horse, option.
Yeah, I think my predictions will turn out to be abysmal. Go ahead and say that. Everything I've said will be wrong. Wilshere will be player of the tournament. We'll thrash the Welsh 7-0. All of this sort of stuff. It'll be great. No, okay. Anyway, yeah.
Thanks. Who are you going for top scorer?
Top scorer. Griezmann.
Again, Hazard.
I've already picked Griezmann on the forum as well. If it isn't him, I would say Müller, because I just can't see any other German scoring.
Well, you've got my two there. Yeah, I was going to say, if the French have their meltdown, it's going to be the Germans and Thomas Müller. Oh, we're very much in sync, Richard. Isn't this great? All right, yeah, okay. Thank you for joining us this week on the podcast. I hope you're looking forward to the Euros and hope you watch as many of the games as you can. You only get this every few years, don't you? So enjoy it while you can. Thanks to Richard Hero-Hudson for joining me and Nick Davey. And
thank you.
Good night from all of us.
Good night.
Good night.